today is Coaching Agile Leaders. Our presenter for today will be Dr. Dave Cornelius. He is an experienced IT and business professional and a global recognized lean and agile catalyst who empowers others to achieve their very best. He specializes in coaching, training, and leading and co-locating and distributed teams to deliver quality innovations from concept to cash. Dave also has held several leadership roles where he has helped transform IT into a partner with other groups within the organization. Welcome, Dave. Good morning. How are you doing today?
I hope everyone is having an awesome day today. I know I am. So to kick it off, I would just say welcome to Knowledge Share with Dr. Dave. And with me today is my friend John Jorgensen, who is also an Enterprise Agile Coach.
Good morning.
Hey, John, you're here. Good. I'm glad that you're in.
Yeah, good to be awesome. Here. Thank you very much.
Great. So we'll just go ahead and get started. One thing that I promised everyone is that we'll take a few questions at the end of our webinar and take that information and provide answers to it. So we'll walk through the three questions or four questions that was presented. And the first one is from Julia. She said, I see Agile and Scrum used interchangeably. What do you see are the differences? So for me, Agile is a set of core values that really encourage flexible or nimble thinking to inspect and adapt and make sure that we could get work done incrementally and, very importantly, sustainably. You know, Scrum is an Agile framework that provides, I said, methods and ceremonies to allow teams to work together to deliver customer value incrementally and sustainably again. So thanks for the question, Julia. And I think Lee, he says, we typically build business-to-business websites for clients. We use the waterfall methodology. Can you apply Agile to website development, or is it only for specific products or apps? Well, Scrum as a framework could easily replace and has easily replaced waterfall in many web development environments. And so you find a lot of companies out there are using Scrum to deliver value to the organization. But also, if you're really large and you have a large team of, you say, teams that are in total is more than 50, maybe you want to look at the Scale Agile framework as an option. The other question is from Denise. She says, how can a non-visionary person grow into a leader with vision? Well, leadership, as you may know, is a contact sport, in my opinion. And basically, that you have to learn by doing. And I have a book called Transforming Your Leadership Character, The Lean Thinking and Agility Way. And that would certainly help you get there in terms of walking through concepts and ideas and also just giving you some practical examples to get you rolling. And then Bonnie says, give an example of how we could use Kanban, the Kanban board at home as well. Well, I definitely use Kanban in my life, and I use it to manage lots of different things. And I kind of like segment it into four different areas. I look at it as, you know, how can I manage things for my family, for my community, for professional development, and also for business development. And so one thing that you could do is get a large piece of paper and some painter's tape, stick it up on your wall, and create three columns, to do, doing, and done. And so I think of doing a Thanksgiving dinner, which is something fairly large and has a number of people who could participate in the process, and you could use that to pretty much plan out a large Thanksgiving dinner for your family or even moving across the country. So these are different options that you do have and something that you could think about. And I hope these responses to your questions provide you with enough information as well. We also post these responses to these questions over on knowledgeshare.org. So let's talk about the topics today. And the first thing we want to ask is, like, why do we need coaching? And we want to look for, if you're an aspiring or practicing Agile coach, you know, what do you need to do and bring to the table? But also the recipient of coaching, we believe that it's critical that you also come to the table with something and an idea of what you want to learn for that day. We want to encourage you to practice lean thinking and agility. You're going to have to select an Agile framework to use that as a guideline to help your team have common languages, common practices, and have, you know, a specific desired outcome. I'll introduce the coaching cycle of continual learning, that's something that you could apply not only just to coaching but to other things in your life. And finally, we talk about Q&A, different questions that you may have. But for the learning objectives, we want to make sure at the end of this webinar that you could look at discerning your leadership disposition, you know, apply lean thinking, use the plan to inspect, adapt, and other practices. So let's jump on over into why do we need coaching? And one of the key things is, like, why do we need coaching is that, like, when you think of athletes and actors, and they have coaches, and I asked the question, you know, why not business professionals? Key thing that you get from coaching is that it helps to provide these certain enrichment activities that help you to become better, maximize the value that you create to the organization. It also helps you to you know, work out all of the blind spots that you have in life, because sometimes we are unable to see different things that we need to improve in, and a coach sometimes provides this great fresh perspective. Sometimes we're heading in the wrong direction, and we're just not aware, and that happens. And so a coach could come in and say, hey, why don't you go left instead of right, or go right instead of left? And one great thing that you get out of coaching is that you get productivity. And if you look at any professional sports, you see that you could see the difference between when an athlete entered their career in the first year and look 5 years down the road, and you can see a great difference, because that's because of great coaching and professionals that are around that individual, helping them to grow and to get better. And so certainly, as a professional, you could certainly benefit from the same things. So,
you know, Dave, related to coaching, specifically, you know, we sometimes think, well, you know, a coach is going to tell you, you know, what you're doing wrong, or maybe, you know, you're not trying hard enough, or something like that. And that's really kind of a stereotype that doesn't always apply. Sometimes we can really be doing very well, you know, the way that we're already working, but you know, there might be just something missing, you know, something that we're not seeing because it's in our blind spot, but somebody who's, you know, just observing us as a disinterested third party, you know, or somebody that's just seeing things from a different perspective and say, you know, have you tried this? Or, you know, can you see something's missing? And then you find it yourself because a coach is asking you powerful questions that maybe shift your perspective on, you know, the way that, you know, your situation is, or how you're working. So it's really an advantage to have another set of eyes, you know, looking at, you know, where you're going towards, you know, your goals, or what it is that's being effective for you, or could be more effective if that thing that's missing was there to make a difference.
Certainly, John. And so that's great input. And so we want to look at, for the aspiring or practicing Agile coach, one thing is that if you want to become an Agile coach, I think that you have to look at certifications in the Lean practice or Scrum or Agile at Scale disciplines, things that you need to just really work on. I always talk about sharpening your saw so that you could be diverse in just multiple disciplines. So for me, as you can see, I studied, you know, traditional project management, I've studied Six Sigma, and I've studied Lean, I've studied management, I've studied a lot of different disciplines because that helps you to be well-rounded. I say get involved with professional development organizations. I'm heavily involved as a coach and a trainer in the Agile space, but also in the traditional project management space and with other professional development organizations, because that's a place you could get an opportunity to really practice your skills. And I believe that we all should work on being on some type of having it some type of a thought leadership presence. And whether that's through writing white papers or building a blog or speaking at a conference, I think these are the things that would help you to become a lot better in all things that you do as a coach. But I also look on the other side. And because sometimes we come to the table as someone who is a recipient of coaching, and I said, you know, don't come empty-handed. Bring something to the table. There has to be some expectations that you have so that you could move forward and essentially know exactly what you're after. And even if you're still struggling with the idea of like, okay, well, what exactly do I want to solve? You know, think of some problem or an opportunity statement that you're working with at work or at home or something in your community that you could say, oh, okay, maybe we could try this as we're going through the coaching experience. Also, know why. Why are we receiving coaching? How will this benefit me? And what do I get out of it? And you have to look at what is the desired outcome, right? We want to know what we'll get today and what we'll receive in the future. And so key things to remember. So what I want to do is, as usual, we always have group engagement. And John, if you want to give some perspective around, you know, either as an aspiring or practicing coach or even someone who is a recipient of coaching, you know, what exactly are you know, people should look for, and give about a minute of color around that.
You bet. So, I'm sorry, I've got an echo going on. So, why do we need coaching? I think, you know, first of all, what we want to have is some feedback loops that are giving us a chance to improve. And so, when we have a chance to work with somebody who's worked with Agile teams before, or if they've, they've been in the same situation that we have, and they're experienced in process improvement. That's how we can, model ourselves after them. And then also, there's a lot of ways. You know, sometimes if you're in a large organization, you can go, you know, to an intranet and actually find a mentor or a coach that will work with you on a one-on-one basis. That's a great way to get more exposure. Or if, you know, there's a chance to be a team coach or a paired coach, maybe shadow a coach for a while to, see how they respond to different problems that maybe, teams run into, you can, get some hints and some ideas about how to develop your own skills in giving people feedback in ways that are easy for them to accept.
Thanks, John. That's really awesome. So how are we doing out there in terms of our responses, Denise?
Good. Let's go ahead and close and share some of our results.
Good. Yeah, so all of the above is really the majority, and that's really the right answer. And so let's keep going, Denise, as you give me control again. And there you go. Awesome. So one thing that I practice, and one thing that I encourage everyone to practice, is lean thinking and agility. And so when I think about lean thinking, I always think about how do I optimize the whole ecosystem and the whole value stream. How do we optimize that? And that's a thought presence that you need to have. I always want to think of how do we reduce waste and make sure that every step and every action taken is optimal. And I know sometimes that's not easy, but it's the mind. If you could get your mind to start thinking in that context of how do I optimize the whole? How do I reduce waste? How do I provide a much greater value to the organization? I also want to think of, as you're working towards some level of innovative goal in your organization, how do you optimize that? And what are the effective steps for doing that? But also, it's incremental. It's incremental. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. So you have to think of, how do I continually improve? And think around value-driven goals. What are the things that are going to truly add value to the organization? But also, and to yourself as well and your team members. But also when we start to look at the blend between lean thinking, and so the other side of it, like the great complement of how you do work with people, I think is agility, where we're always responding to change. and we're open to respond to change.
And so the whole idea is that we get in the mindset that we inspect and adapt what's going on around us. We make decisions based on empiricism, which is nothing but fact-based decisions based on experiences, data, other feedback from others. So it's really key. And also, we want to learn fast. We want to take every opportunity to do things in shorter cycles such that we're responding to the needs of the organization, the needs of our customers. But what really helps us to get there is that we're going to select an agile framework as we go through this process based on the size of our teams. So to put lean thinking and agility into practice, you need a framework to help you get there. One key thing is that if you're practicing Scrum, and we use Scrum as one mechanism to help us, or one framework to help us deal with a smaller number of team members who are doing solutions for the organization, for you, the department, or vertical solution. And I think it fits best for simple systems. Now, if you have super large organizations trying to solve a problem, where you have 8 or more teams of 7 or more members, so you have about 56 or more people engaged, I said look at the Scale Agile framework as, or SAFe, as one option. This also involves when you have multiple cross-functional teams working across the enterprise and sometimes even across the globe trying to solve a problem, that SAFe would also help you get there. Key are multiple integration points, which also creates complex systems. So these are two, you know, frameworks that you could leverage, and also just the way we think, to think in terms of lean thinking and agility. Any quick comments, John, before we move on to the coaching cycle of learning?
No, I'm good. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. So what I came up with is that in order for us to do this as a coach or even someone who's receiving coaching, that here's a cycle of learning that I came up with. And I think we should inquire, we should discover, influence, and deliver. So we're going to inquire by asking powerful questions. And we'll give examples of what that is. But we'll also discover the needs of the stakeholders, the members of our organization. But after we get work, we have all of that information, now we need to influence change in some way and to move teams along so that they may be successful, or even leaders in our organization, so that they can achieve some opportunity to be success. And finally, we want to deliver value. I think that is key in everything that we do in our profession. So as we go through this cycle of learning, we're talking about how do we inquire, we're discovering, we're influencing, and we're delivering value all the time. And so one thing that you do as you're engaged in the cycle of continual learning, so when we start to inquire, we want to ask these different questions to really obtain learnings, because that's the way we move forward. Anything that you build, you have customers, you have people within the organizations, you start asking, well, why is that important to you? You know, how does that impact your life? And we talk about nonverbal communication. So we have to observe and hear what is not said. And that's not easy, so you have to be in a mindset that, okay, I'm here to learn, and I need to ask great questions to get there. You have to open the opportunity to have a dialogue for conversation, make it conversational. And key thing, we said know why. Know why people are doing taking certain actions. Know why you want them to change. So as we ask those powerful questions, we may ask, why is it important to take this course of action? How will this help us? Do we need to make this decision right here and now? And why is creating value that important to the organization? And I think these are key questions that we should ask of different people in our organization and even of ourselves as we walk through this concept of being coached or providing coaching. So as we talk about knowing why, we can look at a scenario. And so if we look at the scenario of why are teams not working well together, so some of the questions that you may come up with is, you know, who are the leaders of the teams?
You know, why are they not helping to facilitate this process? You know, why are people not aligning on common goals? And we see this all the time in our corporate settings where our leaders say we're going north this way, and everyone's going, no, we're not going to do that. We're going our own way. And so we have to ask the question, what's the root cause of this dysfunction? To begin to understand what actions are needed so we can begin to influence and deliver value to the organization. So there's a desired outcome. And we, by asking these powerful questions, we start to gather what I call qualitative information. So because by gathering that, then we can start to look at different patterns that are taking place. Well, maybe the reason is that I just don't like that person that I work with today. And you may have 20 people who come up with those same comments, which certainly forms a pattern. And the other aspect of it is, like, look at quantitative data to understand frequency. How frequently is this happening? And so you could put out a simple survey and get answers to those questions. Now, the other aspect, the other step is to discover. And I say there's an art to discover, the discovery that asks us to do certain things. Like, we want to go deeper to understand the hidden truths, because oftentimes people may say one thing, but if you really pay attention and you start having discussion around their comments, you may find out that there's a lot more than what meets the eyes. Use the power of observation, and it's really getting clued into those nonverbal communication actions that is taking place around you as you communicate with others. And it's just looking at the dynamics of interactions with people where someone could be speaking and the other person is sitting there with their arms folded and looking into the sky. Well, that happens. And so you have to find ways to, how do I help to improve that dynamics, that relationship with others? Common things that we've talked about is what is not said. Because sometimes people may say, make a specific comment, and that comment itself may be loaded. I think, too, that one thing that we can do as part of our discovery process is, I think of collaborative intelligence. And what I think about that is that we have the ability to bring a small community or team of people who could help us with the discovery process, because they themselves may have observe different behaviors and observe different outcomes, and they may also be able to contribute to the different knowledge that's provided with the dynamics of team interaction. So let's look at the art of discovery as another scenario. So one key thing that happens in IT, and I'm using that as an example, or even it could be customer support, is that if you have a team that's responsible for deploying, like, say, software or moving products to market, you know, one thing is that the perception is, like, this deployment team is frequently late with deliverables. So here's some of the discovery that could come out of that scenario, is that delivery teams blame the deployment team for everything. You know, the teams who build the products that, oh, the deployment team is always late, things are just never right with those guys, we can't work with them. And then you may also discover, because of that, that morale is really low for the deployment teams. And so, and their voices are really silent. They're not provided an opportunity to really speak up. Key thing is that they're always the last one invited to the party. So they're not included in upfront planning. Any of the information that they need to know, they get it at the last minute. And also just the requirements of how do we move this product to market is just poorly defined. So one of the things that we want to do as a desired outcome is that we have to understand the issues and try to build working agreements between the teams such that they can effectively communicate so they could build goodwill. And I think that is really key as part of, as a coach, as you're trying to get leaders. And when I think of leaders, I think of leaders not only at the top, but I believe everyone has an opportunity in the organization to be a leader, especially emergent leaders, people who may just find ways to do very well in the organization and take opportunities. So
that's the art of discovery, that we're observing, we're working with others to really try to grasp the issues and try to build working agreements so that we could really generate change. So we come to a point where we have to have another engagement. And we want to ask this question, so which of the following do not belong to the inquiry, to the inquirer and discovery element? So John, any context or comments you want to talk about inquiring and discovering?
Well, sure. I think that, you know, as coaches, when we're talking with, you know, the people that we're coaching, we want to ask questions in an open-ended way, in a way that's going to help people be, like, non-triggered, non-defensive. They'll be receiving the question as a non-rhetorical question, something that's going to lead to discovery within themselves.
Awesome. So, Denise, how is our audience doing out there with the question?
I'm sorry. Looks like we had a little trouble with our poll coming up, so give me a second. It's about to launch.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Give you a couple seconds to cast your vote, and then we'll share some of our results.
Yeah, and one key thing I would like to tell everyone is that if you're in a leadership position in your organization and you have people reporting to you who are part of your reporting structure or your leading teams, one thing you could do is to use these two techniques to inquire and discover, to gather information about behavior, about different patterns that are taking place. These are things that you could begin to implement today at your job. And so great, the response is that, yeah, people are good-natured is not part of the process. We want to know why. We want to discover hidden truths. We want to build effective dialogues and collaborative intelligence to make sure that we have the opportunity to connect with each other. So let's keep moving. Influence. And I think this is one of the heaviest lifting activities that we have to do is to really influence people to make change. So one of the things, since we went through two cycles of inquiring and discovering, that means that we collected some form of data, and we talked about qualitative and quantitative data, which we want to turn that into some information that we can present back to the leaders of the organization, or even to a team that says, hey, we discovered that the reasons why you guys are not working well together is because this, sometime in the past, one of you got burned because someone did not perform up to expectations, and so that has created a barrier. So that's one data point that you could provide, and you could talk about frequency of things being late, frequency of things being misunderstood. So we want to, as part of our influence, we want to also encourage team ownership of issues and an outcome so that it becomes part of their DNA. This is, becomes part of things that they said, well, this is mine. I have total ownership of this. Leaders, one thing, we want to engage leaders and teams to develop actionable outcomes, because half of the time, you know, you come back into a process after a discovery and said, well, here's all this data and here's all this information, and there's nothing actionable about it. It's just information. The question is, how do we build something that's actionable to make a difference and to provide change? Working agreements are really important to build value. There's nothing more important than trying to get individuals and teams to come together to say that we agree that we're going to take this specific step so that we know that there's a specific value-driven outcome at the end of this. And if we could get that for people to get together in a room and do that, to me, that is a huge win. So one thing, there are styles of influence, and my friend John here, you know, as I wrote a paper and put this together, John said, do you realize that these styles of influence is like an acrostic for brain? And I'm going, what? I said, yeah, check it out, Dave. And so I decided to use this in a format that John came up with. And so one of the things is, one of the key styles of influence is bridging. And we wanted to build a connection between people so we could start to develop relationships. This is how we effectively bring about influence. And sometimes we have to rationalize why we want to take a certain course of action, because we are trying to get to this value-driven outcome in the organization. Sometimes we have to just put on some pressure and said, hey, if you do not take this course of action, I could guarantee you that your customers are going to be dissatisfied with you. And so you have to assert and get involved with what's going on. Also, it's how do we inspire a vision, and so that we could really resonate this with people to get into the act of collaboration. And so it may be something that we spend time reading a book, we spend time providing a book club where people could come together and focus on something like servant leadership. It may be a game or some level of activity that you're engaged with. But also, we have to negotiate, because sometimes there are individuals who are unwilling to really get involved with the outcomes or even take any actions for the outcome. They may want to sit in the sideline, and we definitely want to discourage that, because we want to engage people so that they could get involved. So one thing is how do we make this work and make influence really work for people? So if we think of, sometimes we have leaders who are just reluctant to join any type of, the whole action was, we want to become an agile organization, and we have a certain amount of ceremonies and events at the company. We want to see, how do we influence those leaders to change their behavior such that they may become part of the process? And because we know how things work, if the leaders say, we're going to go this way, you have a greater chance that there's a certain amount of people in the organization will follow that leader and go down that path. So let's look at how we bring and use brain as a way of influence. So when we use bridging, one thing we could use is the whole thing of how do we emphasize empathy and to really close gaps in relationships. And there are many different games that we could leverage to do that. There's lots of different empathy games that we could use to do that. John, you have anything, any contribution at this time?
Related to games, they're a way to teach a lesson in a non-confronting format. And so I think, if you can find an agile game that helps a leader see what's in it for them by going in the direction that you're proposing with agile, they get the picture and can enroll themselves in the initiative, the direction that you're going.
Certainly. But also, the next sequence is rationalizing. And sometimes it's providing a compelling argument. What and how? And how do we want you to change and take certain steps of action? So it's through data, and whether you use a survey to collect that data, that's one aspect of it. You could do interviews where you maybe capture audio or video and provide it as part of your discussion in terms of how do you rationalize a course of action. Asserting. I think if we could describe a future where the organization is winning, and winning in the context that people are collaborating, people are working well together, we have satisfied customers, then those are some of the things that we could use, one step that we could use to help organizational leaders or even members of the organization to respond differently. I think key is just to inspire. And sometimes, as I just recently said, is like maybe we take some videos and we capture some feedback, but sometimes it's the voices of the many people who are part of the organization could also be a driving force for change. And we see that all the time in our country today, or in other countries as well, where people are coming together and really saying, we want this certain level of change, and we want to inspire this. And they're really influencing leaders to behave differently. Furthermore, as we go through the process of negotiating, because
we have to develop working agreement with leaders and teams such that there's a great level of trust. And that's one of the things that if we use these five different key activities of bridging, rationalizing, asserting, to inspire and negotiating, this will definitely change the way people behave. And it's just one tool, an additional tool that you may have in your toolkit as a coach or even as someone who's not a coach and said, oh, I could use this concept in changing the way my team behave. So let's look at a scenario of what's going on in an organization where you have leaders still reluctant to really participate in agile events in the organization. So one thing we have is a desired outcome that we want to make sure that leaders begin attending agile events at the company, because that's really huge. When you have the leaders of the organization being present and the team members see that, they go, oh, okay, this is really serious. They really care about this. We want to make sure that they are active participants. They may have a voice. We don't want them to overshadow what's taking place, so you may limit their participation. However, just having them being there and perhaps even participating in some of the activities, if you're playing games, if you're doing different workshops, you know, I think that makes a huge difference in terms of how you influence the organization and influence people at all. So we want to make sure that we could help them to be enablers of success and remove impediments. Sometimes it could be that you have teams that are warring factions, and a leader could come in and say, look, stop it, knock it off. Just knock this off. We're all one team, one organization. We have to act in that certain way. And so maybe they may be able to enable that level of success and remove that impediment. And so that's another aspect of how we could use influence as a key factor in bringing about change. So let's get into another group engagement, Denise, and see how our audience is doing in terms of grasping, you know, looking at the acrostic called BRAIN and what does it really mean. And John, let's have a little dialogue around this and how you've used this or plan to use it in the future. Now?
Yeah, you know, I was looking at the asserting side of BRAIN, and it's surprising how when you can verbalize what it is that you want or what it is that you're seeing, it has an effect on the world around you. Stating your case or just stating a goal to other people is the first step towards taking action to achieving an outcome that you really want. So there's a lot of power in assertion that you might not realize at first blush.
Certainly. And to me, the inspiration, the ability to inspire people for change, it's also, you know, a very important step. So here we go. I think 71% agrees that A is the right answer. Thank you so much. Well, let's move along so we can get to deliver. So we've talked about we have to inquire, we discover, we influence. Now, the next step in the cycle of continual learning for a coach is to deliver something of value. And so one way we do that is we've had some games, we've developed some workshop. So now we're beginning to create a shared sense of value. Here are the things that we believe together would make a huge difference. The things that we have identified that, yeah, these are the things that we consider to be valuable or add value to our organization. We have to make a conscious effort to meet or exceed those objectives. Otherwise, it gets to a point where we lose credibility. And so even if we may miss the mark, we have to be transparent in the fact that we're saying, like, yes, we made every attempt to get there. Here are some of the roadblocks or impediments that we ran into, and here's how we intend to work around it. I think that it takes when I speak of collaborative intelligence, of people working together to use their God-given talent and brain of creating a network of people capable of delivering new innovation for the organization, we have to empower individuals to feel that they can and make a difference if they lend their voices to the process. So I think it's key for us to deliver as part of it. So let's look at a simple scenario that would help us to see how this may work for us. One thing in an organization, they may discover that every time they go through a change initiative, that it has this short sustaining, you know, life cycle, that it may only last for 6 months. And you may wonder, well, geez, yeah, we spend all of this effort, we understood what's going on with the organization or with those individuals. We took the time to discover what was taking place, because we're actually asking powerful questions, we're inspecting. We came up with enough information to influence people to change, but geez, it's just not sticky enough. And so one thing that you can do is to help to train everyone in perhaps the same agile practice and principles and values. You know, that's one thing that you could help people to hey, this is what we believe in, this is what we're about, and get everyone to buy into that, which essentially is nothing more than a culture shift. I believe it's when we build community of agile excellence, people are practicing agility, that they're inspecting and adapting, and they're finding ways to make a difference, that community is really powerful. And we see that at work a lot in different, you know, you look at sports teams, you look at different professional organizations, where they're building a community around some concept, some framework, some idea, some aspect of change. And I said, get cross-functional teams to work in a collaborative way. So if we're going through this process, we say, like, yeah, these are the things that we have to do. Make sure everyone is trained. Make sure we build a community of agile excellence. And to get everyone to work together, then we have a much greater chance of getting to our desired outcome. So we can start looking at high-quality product or service and innovation that we provide back to the organization. You know, having a community of continual learning is really key, and organizations are cluing into that, or have clued into that, where they're beginning to provide training and opportunity for learning and coaching and mentoring and peering as ways to empower people to get better. Make sure people are getting out of get outside of the building. And I believe that people should attend local and national Agile community events, where they have an opportunity to work with other people to learn as well. These are all key factors. So let's summarize what we discussed today. I say that we all need coaching to help us work through our blind spots, because we all have blind spots. As an inspiring coach, we have to develop a plan to meet our customer goals. But also, as a coaching recipient, we should also have a goal of what we want and to how we're going to go about embracing change. And use the coaching cycle of continual learning to open doors to innovation. So if we inquire through powerful questions, we discover the needs of people, we have an opportunity to influence change and really deliver great value to the organization. So I like to open up, you know, maybe for a few minutes of questions that you may have, things that I could clarify that I spoke about today, and John could certainly chime in with helping us to get feedback and this time to our audience. So if there's something that, questions that you may have, things that we could help clarify for you, we're open to doing that for the next few minutes before we close.
All right, Dave, so to get started, Vicki has a question here, which she thought it was interesting that you brought up empathy games. So where can you find some examples for these team meetings?
John? I have one in mind, and it just went away. What is it called? 21? I forgot. But one place where I go to find empathy games is Amazon.com, believe it or not. But hold this question, because I have a very specific game that I didn't note down that I could send back to you.
that I've played recently that I thought it was excellent. But Amazon also is a key place that you could just search for empathy games and you'll find several in there. But I would also send out a specific one as well.
Awesome, thank you. We have another question by Chris. She'd like to know, what is the best way to find professional groups for Agile, Lean, Scrum in local areas?
I would say go to the scrumalliance.org. Scrumalliance.org has different meetup groups and different user groups that establish in different cities. You could also go to agilealliance.org. It's another way where you could find other groups local to your community. Meetup.com is another place that you may go. John, you have any other suggestions as well?
No, I think my first go-to would be Meetup.
Yeah.
Also, you could try LinkedIn. That would be another source.
Yeah, that's right. LinkedIn also is another source that you may look at. To find other communities, but I know where you could find a lot of the local and national activities, but also don't forget that PMI also provides other different groups who are practicing Agile as well. So you have multiple sources between PMI, ScrumAlliance.org, AgileAlliance.org, LinkedIn, and Meetup as well.
Denise? Great. Okay, so next question from Brian. What other tools and techniques can you suggest to help inspire people? Is a compelling vision enough? If not, what else can I do to improve my chances of getting folks truly inspired and increase buy-in?
John, you want to take a crack at that first, or you want me to?
Sure. So yeah, the first thing that I found a lot of success with is sort of a lean canvas approach. In other words, one big sheet of paper that has all the elements to the change initiative that you're wanting to enact, and then allowing people to write in to each one of the elements or the categories in that initiative what they think would be effective in sort of approaching it from a design of experiments kind of angle and iterating on it. So that it kind of pulls everybody into the process and everybody gets to learn together and it's fully transparent. It's a big visible chart that people can watch at any time.
Yeah, and to add to that, key thing is I say organizational change is important. And so if you have a big vision that you want to get across, I say one thing is that how do you communicate that to the members of the organization? And one way to do that is, I said, work with your marketing group, work with your organizational development group in your company. And the reason I bring up marketing is because then you could start creating messaging that you could display throughout the organization. I remember one time I was doing an engagement with a customer, and they wanted to promote IT service management as this great vision to help reduce the amount of incidents that they were having in the organization. So we engaged marketing to create nothing but a big signs and a series of different cutouts of people taking certain action and certain steps. So that started to create awareness that there's change coming. There's a vision that we want you to follow. We started providing webinars, basic white papers, a little bit of training. And one thing that you can look at is that if you have a small enough group, can you use things like lean coffee as a way to engage discussions and capture people's ideas and have people have an opportunity for discussion, and really just following up to make sure that we're inquiring essentially how are people responding to this vision, what are their ideas. So if you take the same framework that I presented today and apply change management to that. So you could inquire, you could discover, you could influence, and you could still deliver your vision to the organization.
Great, thank you. Let's see here. What advice would you offer someone wanting to enter the Agile or Scrum field? Any first steps?
I would say get involved in local community. I would go to those websites to find out where there are functions. There are lots of meetup groups in your local community. And I said I would go to look at, you know, scrumalliance.org to see what's going on locally. Go to meetup.com to see what's happening there. Look at LinkedIn. There's lots of activities that are taking place that you could begin that process. Or, you know, buy a book. Buy a book. You know, I have a podcast that speaks to Agile all the time and different practices within Agile at grokshare.com. And so you begin to hear the voices of the many of different peoples who are talking about ways to improve and to change the way we work. So that's one way we could do that. Anything you would like to add, John?
Yeah, to build on that, you know, when you go to a local meetup group or some sort of gathering of people, you really want to keep your eyes and ears peeled. You want to be looking for, is there an event, like an annual event that they have, where people can ask questions who hope to be practitioners soon. And if there's not one, this is going to sound really audacious, but consider actually creating one, perhaps using open space technology to start an event where people can come together, practitioners and otherwise, and start asking questions about how do we actually do this.
Yeah, and one other place that I could tell you to go, you could actually look at 5saturdays.org, the number 5saturdays.org, to find a way of how could you really create a community or join a community where agility is being practiced or taught to high school students. So there are many different options and opportunities for you to get involved, and we've just highlighted a few. And Denise, I think we have 5 minutes to finish up.
Yeah, I'll let you wrap up with that. Do you have anything else you want to share, Dave?
No, I think we're good. So let's just wrap up so I can get to Denise, and I'll do this really quickly. Feel free to send in questions. As you know, that I read through them, I highlight things, and I respond to them, and we make sure that information is readily available to you. Get out to knowledge.org and learn about our services, how we could help you in your Agile transformation, coaching, training, information that you may need. I wrote a book called Transforming Your Leadership Character, Lean Thinking in Agility Way. It's really cheap. It's $9.99 on Amazon.com. Get that. That would also help you in your leadership transformation in terms of driving vision and helping teams to grow. There's a game that complements that. It's called Agility Leader Shift. It's a game that you could play with your teams, ask questions about, and learn the whole concept of lean thinking and agility and how it applies to your organization. If you want to get involved with the Agile community, we have 5saturdays.org, which is also an opportunity for you to learn about how you could take your talents and skills and help students to learn about Agile and technology. And feel free to donate to our cause. You know, this definitely helps us in the long run. You want to just go out there and gather some more PDUs, go to grokshare.com. I run a podcast that you will find people like John and others talking about different things. This is somewhere that you can learn more about Agile and different contexts of Agile as well. If you want, just contact us at any point in time. Get out to knowledgeshare.org. Visit our website. You can send us stuff on Twitter. You could also email us at customercare@knowledgeshare.org. Yeah, one more thing. Thank you guys for showing up today. I think just showing up is really important, so thank you so much.
Look for the KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. The KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast is hosted on grokshare.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Dave, reach out on Twitter at Dr. Dave Info or at KnowledgeShare. This podcast and interview produced by Dr. Dave Cornelius. Copyright 2016 KnowledgeShare.
You grokshare?
I grok it at KnowledgeShare. Every day, every day. Until next time, pursue goodness, share, and learn.